The Decree on Peace, adopted unanimously at a session of the All-Russian Congress of Soviets of Workers and Soldiers' Deputies, 26th of October, 1917. The Workers' and Peasants' Government, founded by the revolution of the 24th, 25th of October, and based on the Soviets of Workers, Soldiers, and Peasants' Deputies, proposes to all warring peoples and their governments to begin immediately negotiations for a just and democratic peace. A just or democratic peace, which the overwhelming majority of the workers and toiling classes of all warring countries who have been emaciated, exhausted, and debilitated by the war. A peace which the Russian workers and peasants have been demanding in the most determined and insistent manner since the overthrow of the Tsarist monarchy. Such a peace the government considers to be an immediate peace without annexations, that is, without the seizure of foreign lands, without the forcible integration of foreign nationalities, and without indemnities. The government of Russia proposes to all warring peoples to conclude such a peace immediately and expresses a readiness to take right away, without the slightest delay, all decisive steps up to a conclusive affirmation of all conditions of such a peace by sanctioned meetings of popular representatives of all countries and all nations. By annexation or seizure of foreign lands, the government understands, according to the legal sense of democracy in general and of the toiling classes in particular, any kind of integration into a large or strong state of a small or weak nationality without the precisely, clearly, and voluntarily expressed agreement and desire of the nationality in question, independently of the fact of when this forced integration is completed, and also independently of the fact of how developed or backward is the nation that is being forcibly integrated or forcibly held within the borders of the state in question. Finally, this is also independently of whether the nation resides in Europe or in lands beyond the oceans. If any nation whatsoever is held within the borders of a given state by force, and if, despite the expressed desire on its part, it does not matter whether this desire is expressed in print, at popular meetings, in the decisions of parties, or in disturbances and insurrections against national oppression, the nation is not provided the right to decide in a free vote, with the complete withdrawal of troops of the integrating or any other stronger nation, and without the slightest coercion, the question of the forms of the nation's existence as a state, then this integration is an annexation, that is, a seizure and a violation. To continue this war for the sake of dividing amongst the strong and rich nations the weak nationalities captured by them, the government considers the gravest crime against humanity, and solemnly declares its determination to sign immediately the provisions of a peace that will end this war on the stated conditions, equally just for all nationalities without exception. Along with this, the government declares that it does not consider the conditions of peace stated above to be ultimata. That is, the government agrees to consider any other conditions of peace, while insisting only on the fastest possible proposal of them by any warring country, and on the most complete clarity on the unconditional exclusion of any kind of ambiguity and any kind of secrecy upon the proposal of conditions of peace. The government renounces secret diplomacy while expressing on its part the firm intention to conduct all negotiations completely openly before the entire nation, and while undertaking immediately the complete publication of secret agreements that were confirmed or concluded by the government of landowners and capitalists from February to the 25th of October, 1917. All contents of these secret agreements, insofar as they were directed, as they were in the majority of cases, toward the securing of advantages and privileges for Russian landowners and capitalists, and toward the retaining or expansion of annexations by great Russians, the state decrees to be unconditionally and immediately nullified. In addressing the governments and peoples of all countries with a proposition to begin immediately open negotiations about the conclusion of peace, the government expresses on its part a readiness to conduct these negotiations by means of written communications, via telegraph, and also by way of negotiations between representatives of the different countries or at a conference of such representatives. In order to facilitate such negotiations, the government can appoint its official representative to neutral countries. The government proposes to all governments and peoples of all warring countries to conclude immediately a ceasefire, and considers for its part to be desirable for this ceasefire to be concluded for at least 3 months, that is, for a period during which is possible both the conclusion of negotiations for peace with the participation of representatives of all nationalities or nations, without exception, which were dragged into the war or forced to participate in it, as well as the convocation of sanctioned meetings of popular representatives of all countries for the final ratification of conditions of peace. In addressing the governments and peoples of all warring countries with this proposal of peace, the Provisional Workers' and Peasants' Government of Russia also addresses, in particular, the conscious workers of the three most advanced nations of humankind and the largest states participating in the current war: England, France, and Germany. The workers of these countries have provided the greatest services for the cause of progress and socialism, and the great examples of the Chartist movement in England, the series of revolutions that have a world historic significance that have been accomplished by the French proletariat, and finally, in the heroic struggle against the law of exclusion in Germany, and in the exemplary, continued, persistent, disciplined work of the creation of mass proletarian organizations in Germany. All of these examples of proletarian heroism and historic creation serve as a guarantee that the workers of the named countries will understand the tasks which now fall to them of emancipation of humanity from the horrors of war and its consequences, that these workers, through their multilateral, decisive, and devotedly energetic activities, will help us bring about the conclusion of the cause of peace. And along with that, the cause of the emancipation of the toiling and exploited masses from any kind of slavery and any kind of exploitation. Chairman of the Soviet of People's Commissars, Vladimir Ulyanov Lenin.